This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go,
man.
I'm feeling great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. We come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We appreciate you making us part of your Monday morning. Coming up this hour on the show, who had the bigger college basketball win this weekend? Kentucky knocking off number one Tennessee, or was it St. John's with a furious 19-point comeback over the defending champion Villanova Wildcats yesterday? We'll discuss coming up here in about 15 minutes from now. But last night, All-Star Weekend culminated. And as I mentioned earlier in the week, I generally like NBA All-Star Weekend for one reason and one reason only. The players have fun. The players want to be part of it. Think about how unique that is. In Major League Baseball, the most recent CBA was all about giving players more time off during the regular season. Because most players, if they get chosen to play in the All-Star game for Major League Baseball, would rather just take a few days off. Especially pitchers, who almost line themselves up right before the All-Star weekend or the All-Star week so that they don't have to pitch, they don't have to play. In the NFL, you couldn't pay those guys enough money to show up. Everybody's an alternate. Nobody wants to go to the Pro Bowl. But in the NBA, guys want to go. You can tell they genuinely have a great time. I think there's a lot of business tie-ins there, so it helps them make money. And there's a lot of great parties around there. But I think they also really like one another, like being around that environment. And so I dig it because you can tell how much fun they're all having. The game itself, to me, is an afterthought. I mean, who cares about a comeback? Nobody's playing any defense. They're not going full speed. I mean, it's kind of a joke, but doesn't need to be anything more than just a little fun exhibition where nobody plays defense. So for Kevin Durant to win the All-Star MVP last night doesn't, to me, prove anything about his worth in the NBA. Is he the best player in the NBA because he won All-Star MVP? I mean, again, who cares? It's an exhibition. Nobody's playing very hard, and there's no defense. Far more important is winning NBA Finals MVP or league-wide regular season MVP. But for Kevin Durant, it actually is perfect that he won the MVP last night. It's perfect because it's the last moment of any interest and any drama until Kevin Durant's offseason. You see, from now until July the 1st, I'm sorry, I think we all know how this thing's going to end. It'll be fun to watch the Eastern Conference playoffs. It'll be fun to see who comes out of the crab barrel known as the East. Who's pulling down who? Will the Celtics finally get it together and make their way out of this thing and into the NBA Finals? Will the Toronto Raptors continue with how deep and solid they are in All-Star MVP caliber play from Kawhi Leonard? Can the Sixers put this whole thing together and the process finally get them to an NBA Finals? It'll be fun to see how this thing ends. And of course, there's Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks trying to get to their first NBA Finals in decades. That'll be great. In the West, I guess it'll be fun to see if the Rockets can kind of put this thing together for the playoffs, if Harden continues this, if Paul George and Russell Westbrook can play together and win playoff series, if the Nuggets are real. But ultimately, as long as the Warriors are focused and they care, unfortunately, it doesn't matter. They have too much weaponry, too much firepower, too much experience. Having added DeMarcus Cousins just once again seals up any weaknesses they might have on the block or defensively under the basket. Unfortunately, the only time the NBA has felt as though it wasn't a foregone conclusion who was going to win the NBA Finals was when the Golden State Warriors decided, we don't care. As long as they care, when they care, they win. But Kevin Durant, if he leaves July 1st, changes everything. And it's pretty appropriate that Kevin Durant is so sensitive about calls about his legacy, why he left Oklahoma City, if he's the best player in the NBA, why he's so sensitive to reports about where he's leaving, when he's leaving. Because Kevin Durant joining the Warriors created this. He created a world where the NBA games don't really matter as much as player movement. Because it's already been decided. It's inevitable. The Warriors will end up winning three world championships in the 3 years that Kevin Durant is there. It might only have one competitive playoff series amongst those 3 years. Last year's Western Conference Final. So Kevin Durant, by virtue of leaving and joining the Warriors to make them immortal, to make them invincible, to make them unbeatable, sucked all the drama out of the regular season. So the only thing we have to look forward to is player movement. And so now the next moment that's going to be interesting is where Kevin Durant goes. Because if he stays at Golden State, same thing. I mean, I suppose if Klay Thompson left instead of Kevin Durant, it would lessen their firepower enough to maybe make you believe somebody could catch them. But if Kevin Durant leaves, the Warriors go back to what the Warriors were their first 2 years, which was a champion without KD and winner of 73 games without KD, but a real belief that you could still beat them if you played a great game. I don't think there's a real belief that you can beat them if you play your best game right now, as long as they care. So Kevin Durant wins last night's MVP, and now the next marker in the NBA is July 1. What does Kevin Durant do? And I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I don't like it this way. I take no glee in knowing that essentially the NBA playoffs don't really matter. I mean, look, if you live in Philadelphia or Milwaukee or Boston or a place trying to get to the Eastern Conference Final, then, or Toronto, then there's something to look forward to. And I don't mean to tell you don't care, because obviously if you get to the NBA Finals, that might be a win enough for you. That might be enough. I mean, the Cavaliers have had a lockdown on this. Before that, it was the Heat. It's been 9 years since anybody besides LeBron got to the Eastern Conference Final, or won the Eastern Conference, rather. So be it. That's great. But it just has sucked the life out of the NBA that all we talk about is player movement, because for the last 3 years, the champion has been decided. So when KD leaves, suddenly we get the league back to where you can really make an argument for other teams besides Golden State. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. I know I joked about this last hour, but I do just want to cite this one more time. I know that NFL.com and NFL Media doesn't want to focus too much on the Kaepernick settlement. I get it. That's a sensitive league issue. And a league-owned website probably doesn't want to go too deep into Antonio Brown, trashing Ben Roethlisberger. I get it. That's negative stuff. They'd probably rather report on positive stuff. But this morning, the NFL.com's main page story is watch highlights from the San Diego Fleet's win. Their major news stories. Lincoln Riley talking about Kyler Murray. Josh Rosen involved in a fender bender. Washington's front office not counting out Alex Smith just yet. And then Gardner, San Diego Fleet, fly past legends for win, and Gilbert, Orlando Apollo's rally past Commanders. I bring this up because I think it's significant to note the NFL is supporting the Alliance. I've heard people say they're in business with the Alliance. Not officially, unless you believe that the league-owned network, the NFL Network Broadcasting Alliance Games, is in business with one another. But the NFL is not funding the Alliance right now. What the NFL is doing is it's not at war with the Alliance. And here was the biggest problem with the USFL. It tried to take on the NFL. It tried to sign players away from the NFL. Eventually, they tried to go against the NFL in the fall. They never got that far. That was a mistake. Spring football has always had the possibility of working as long as it wasn't going against the NFL, because you won't beat the NFL. You won't beat them, the players, without going under yourself. What you can do, though, is work in tandem with the NFL and say, we're not a threat. We're here to supplement you. We're here to support you. And this is why the Alliance will ultimately work. Because if the Alliance aligns with the NFL instead of the XFL aligning with the NFL, the NFL likes the idea of having a feeder system. The NBA has the G League. Major League Baseball has its whole farm system. Hockey has a farm system as well. The NFL has never had a farm system. This can act as this. The teams would have territorial rights to certain teams' rosters in the AAF, but you would also be developing players on the field, developing coaches on staffs, developing referees, instant replay officials, and all the things you need to run the NFL. They like this idea. And they also like that there's content on their airwaves in the spring to keep people's palates wet on the NFL or just football in general. You're watching the Alliance on the NFL Network. That should tell you something. There's a real potential here. And I think my read is this. Year one, the NFL wasn't going to thrust its support behind it. They were going to see how it worked because they didn't want to be part of a disaster. They've been through NFL Europe. They did not want to throw money behind something that ended up being a disaster. So they were going to see how the waters tested with the AAF. And the fact that it's working and the fact that it's organized, there's no disasters of like buses aren't showing up, players aren't getting paid yet, the jerseys aren't right, the stadium's locked up, the lights aren't turning on, the field is flooded. The fact that none of this stuff has happened, which would give a black eye to an NFL-type business or an NFL-related business, means the NFL's watching. They're going to take a step back over the course of this year, watch how it unfolds, and then little by little, you will see them pledge some support behind the NFL. You'll see more and more synergy. And I think that the NFL looks at the Alliance and says, we don't mind spring football as long as they're not trying to challenge us and as long as it's not schlocky and half-assed and Bush League, which the XFL tried to be. The XFL was saying, we're something that the NFL is not in 2001. We'll bring you the football you want to see. You don't want the NFL. We'll give you real football. And they were chasing down loose balls for the kickoff. And they were calling the million-dollar game of the championship game all about the money. And they were making it schlocky. And the NFL didn't want to be associated with that. But this, the NFL's fine with. And that's why this has real potential. And when you go to NFL.com, the fact that its main story is the Fleet win tells you something already. When we come back here on the show, who had the bigger college basketball win, Kentucky or St. John's this weekend? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
I got to tell you, brother, I'm so happy that for the last 2 weeks when I was in Cancun, I was able to keep up with the DA show on WatchDA.com. Great job by Kaplan.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
A great job by Kaplan at WatchDA.com, which you can watch on any device by simply typing in WatchDA.com. Also, you can follow me for behind the scenes on the DA show on Instagram at Damon Amendo. Follow me there, and part of the Instagram story is always behind the scenes of the DA show. Check it out at Damon Amendo. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. College basketball now as we enter the second half of February. Late conference season action. By early March, we'll be talking about seeding and conference tournaments and March Madness. So for now, these are some chances for statement wins, and two schools got them in a big way this weekend. Kentucky absolutely throttled the number one team in the country, Tennessee, at Rupp Arena, 86-69. And last night, number 13 Villanova coughed away a 19-point lead to St. John's to eventually lose. And the Johnnies, with maybe their most important win of the season, even though they've got wins over Marquette already, this one over Villanova said a lot about St. John's, considering they came back from nearly 20. The best win, I think it's Kentucky's win, because it happens over the number one team of the country, and they demolished them. I mean, that's a 17-point win over the number one team of the country. And I know that John Calipari shut down the overrated chance for the Kentucky student section, but I think that's how a lot of America probably felt. Seeing Tennessee at number one of the country has left everybody wondering, are they real? This is weird. We're not used to anybody in the SEC being that good except for Kentucky, let alone Tennessee. We never expect to see Tennessee at the top of the rankings. But Rick Barnes' crew has been amazing. Before that game, 23-1. Their only loss coming way early in the season against Kansas when Kansas was the number two team of the country. So Tennessee had earned being number one overall. But not only did they lose at Rupp, they got manhandled. They really did. And that's the reason why it makes you wonder, is Tennessee really overrated? I mean, look, this is normally the time of year where Kentucky starts to surge because all of those one-and-dones, all of those freshmen, all of those young players start to coalesce, and this is where they begin to ascend going into March. But when you watch this game on Saturday, you couldn't help but say, boy, Kentucky's just better. They're better. They got better star power in P.J. Washington, who was a beast. They're better. They're deeper. And this home crowd at Rupp Arena, nobody in the SEC can top. I mean, the crowd at Rupp was absolutely bonkers. From the opening tip for the national anthem, it was bonkers. And I've had the chance to go to Rupp Arena and take in a game, and boy, it's special. In fact, I did a Nomad episode about that, which you could watch on YouTube. Just search my name in Nomad. And it is one of the great sporting atmospheres in any sport in America. It's awesome. And that crowd, which sometimes can take being great for granted, was ready. They saw another team of the SEC atop the standings. They saw the number one team of the country coming in, and it was hated Tennessee, and it was a border war. Oh, yeah, we're in. And that crowd fueled how great Kentucky played throughout that entire night. What a game. What a performance by Kentucky. That's the most impressive win of the college basketball weekend. But make no bones about it, St. John's getting a 19-point comeback over Villanova was special. And there's been a lot of criticism of Chris Mullin, that Mullin is just a figurehead. Mullen's not an X's nose guy. Mullin's just there because of name only, letting everybody else do all the work recruiting-wise and strategically and game preparation. But, you know, St. John's has had some big wins already this year. They've gone through some swoons as well. But let's face it, when you come back from down 19 against Villanova, winners of two national championships in recent years, you deserve a lot of accolades, and you're going to be in the tournament. I think that just sewed it up. I think St. John's just got into the NCAA tournament last night. And while they're still a program trying to build from irrelevance, they've had very relevant wins this year. And they've had some swoons. They lost 4 of 5 games midway through the year. Some ugly ones as well. But they made Madison Square Garden feel like old-time St. John's basketball last night. You know, back in the day when Chris Mullin and Mark Jackson and the rest of those guys were winning the Big East and going to the NCAA tournament and going to the Final Four in 1985, guess what? Madison Square Garden was an unbelievable home court advantage. Nowadays, it really hasn't been because as many road fans show up as home fans, and it's a neutral court almost. It's fun. It's nice. It's MSG. But it's not a hardcore pro St. John's crowd every single week when they play there. But last night, it really was. They were loud, and even the Villanova fans in the building, they were drowned out real early in that comeback. Down 19 in the first half, down 10 with 10 minutes to play. It's a great win for St. John's. It really is. It's a great win. Two fun games to watch in college basketball this weekend. And now we're heading towards the part of the season where you start paying attention to those big wins, signature wins, resume building wins. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Ranford's Beautiful Lettuce asks, DA, I know this is a reach, but what about coming to Arizona for Hot Shots and Fleet on March the 24th? It's a 1 p.m. local Arizona kickoff. I'm going to be tailgating and going. What about you guys?
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Ranford's Beautiful Lettuce, unfortunately, I will not be able to make that road trip. I do not see myself being able to get to an Alliance game this spring, although I hope to in the near future. I can tell you this, though, Mraz has already set this thing up with his wife. Danielle, who is an angel, has talked to Mraz about going to a Birmingham Iron Orlando Apollos Alliance game coming up in a couple of weeks. Where are we right now in those contract negotiations?
My wife is currently in a car ride home from Baltimore. She went away with friends this weekend and said when she gets home, we will discuss and look further into it. So I'm waiting for her to get home and discuss and look further into it. My fear now is we waited too long. Both teams are 2-0. This could become like impossible price-wise to get tickets.
You'll never get in.
Right. You could maybe not get in if this is the preview to the Eastern Conference Championship game. So
is that how that works?
I think. Okay. I don't know. Yeah. I assume you get in. But they're both 2-0. So I'm going to talk to her and say, we're going to do this. Flights are going to go up. I imagine it's going to become a pretty big media convention, this kind of game.
Flights are going to go up.
I mean, in and out of Birmingham, it could be that many flights to begin with. Then when you get a hot ticket like this, like, that's a big event.
Maybe you guys waited too long.
Maybe you waited too long. But again, that's the goal. And what's the price you could pay of happiness? So if you get in there, wear the Apollos gear. There were road Apollo fans in San Antonio. The road trips have already started.
Really?
They were waving a flag in the first row.
Let me ask you this, Mraz. What's in it for Danielle? I know you are a big Apollos fan. I use big in air quotes. I don't know how you can be a big anything fan after 2 weeks.
I'm fist pumping. I'm pumped. Jalen Marshall jersey en route.
But let me ask you this. What is in it? I know you want to see an Orlando Apollos game in person. What is in it for Danielle? Why would she want to go to an Alliance game in a state which is like 1,200 miles away?
Basically, she has the goal of seeing all 50 states. There is not a lot of, we do the done for the days in Alabama. It would make more sense, you might ask, why don't we just go to an Alabama or an Auburn game and get that festivity? I agree, though you know, that could be a little more expensive. We get in and out of Birmingham. You cross off that you've been to Alabama. You're done for the day.
So this is more about Danielle getting to the state of Alabama more than her wanting to go to an Alliance football game.
Right. So generally speaking, if she could cross off a state and I could cross off something I want to do and we could combine those things.
Bucket list.
That's bucket list. It's a good, healthy marriage. I could care less if I ever step foot in the state of Alabama. No offense to anybody there. I'm sure it's a beautiful state. But if I care about going to an Alliance game. So if I get to go to the Alliance game and I step foot in Alabama and she does too, you could put a couple pins on the board on the wall and away we go.
Two birds, one stone.
Right. Right.
Also, am I to believe that you and Bob the Deli Man, your dad, were high-fiving after an Apollo's pick six?
Yes. So he came over. I cooked some chicken cutlets yesterday, and I said, Dad, let's sit down. Let's watch the game. My mom was over. Tie game late. The pick six happened. We both jumped out of it. Yeah! And we gave a high five, looked at each other, felt uncomfortable about the high five because it wasn't like, you know, a Giants touchdown. And we just kind of laughed and said, all right, I guess we're into it. But that's how that, see, this is what happens.
Yes.
It's a generation of fans they're capturing. If your NFL team stinks and you jump in, you got a good team you're rooting for, you're in.
So did Bob the Deli Man watch Orlando week one?
I do not know. I was not with him. Oh, you know what? I can tell you he didn't because you needed to watch that online in New York because you got the San Antonio-San Diego game. He watched San Diego-San Antonio. But I've been wearing the Apollos gear around, and I think he feels like it's his duty since I rooted for the teams he liked growing up. He has to root for the teams I like now.
So is Bob in on the quality of football in the Alliance?
Yeah, he thinks it's great. And my mother and him got into a little spat Saturday night when I was asking the bartender to put on, because we went out for my mother's birthday, to put on the Hot Shots game Saturday. We had just come off a family party watching the Birmingham game, and my dad was like, yeah, ask him to put it on. My mom said, and I quote, I sacrificed 20 weekends out of the year where you guys watch football. I am not having football consume my life the next 10 weeks. So she yelled at us for even wanting to put the football game on. And my dad said, well, what does it matter? You take a nap anyway half the time on a Sunday. I can't watch more football. So that happened.
There is heavy-duty Orlando Apollos discussion, watch parties, and celebration, plus some road trips being planned at the Mraz household on Long Island in New York.
They're Long Island's team.
They really are.
They are.
Yeah. Well, they're really a national brand.
They might be becoming America's team with Steve Spurrier. You always wonder, like 20 years from now, you're going to go, where do all these Apollo fans come from? They are the Cowboys of the 70s. America's team.
The Orlando Apollos, America's team. Jump on the bandwagon now after two games all time. When we come back here on the show, a little cut line, the story that did not make the cut, plus your epic fail, a controversy months in the making. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
My only, if you will, coup de grace to that.
That doesn't make any sense.
I was shooting there. I hope I shot right.
You shot terribly
wrong. I missed
wrong.
Nolan Williams there.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
41 minutes past the hour. We appreciate you being with us on a fine Monday. Thanks so much for being with us. And full episodes are available. If you missed anything or want to hear it again, including today's Alliance Primetime Week 2 around the league with highlights, nicknames, music, and singing, that'll be available after we are off of the air. We'll post the full episode just as we do every single day on iTunes. Just simply search DA and CBS, or also you can do so on the old website, daoncbs.com. It's time now for our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Tony tweets, in DA, what does the NBA have to do to get the superstars back into the slam dunk contest? I don't think you can unless you offered a whopping amount of money. I think the superstars want to stay on brand. The superstars want to control their own fate. The superstars don't want to compete in something they may lose to a lesser player without a significant financial reward. Which is a real shame we never got to see LeBron at the slam dunk contest. I am hoping Zion, while he's the presumed number one pick of the NBA draft, is all in on the slam dunk contest next year, because that dude's been having NBA slam dunk caliber slams since he was in high school. So I really hope he doesn't pull the big time card, but you have to offer like $10 million to the winner. Look, if it was, and again, like Kobe and LeBron and Durant, although I don't know if I would need Durant at the slam dunk contest, but super duper duper stars have the $10 million bucks already, but at least they could then be enchanted by the idea of a big fat $10 million payday right there just by winning an exhibition, a competition. It's the only thing that you're going to get their attention with. You can't mandate it. I guess you could. That'd be the other way. If you're one of the superstars and you're voted in that you have to play, I suppose. But just make it a monster check and say, okay, turn this down. All you have to do is rattle off five dunks. You could win $10 million. You're not going to do that? $20 million. And get a monster sponsor for it, Mountain Dew or Kia or whatever, and say, this is the money. It's right here. It's a bag of cash. Now, come on. You don't want to throw down a few hammer dunks? Windmill or two? Senor Pantleg tweets, the more I see the Alliance succeeding week after week, and even NFL.com headlining some of their stories, I'm wondering if the XFL will even launch next year. Remember the All-American Football League that had their online draft and never even started after multiple postponements? Yeah, disaster. There's been a lot of disaster attempts at spring football, and I think the key
is... Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
...that this league is feeling good, doing well, because they've got real, actual football people in play. Bill Polian's running it. Charlie Ebersol is the son of Dick Ebersol, a TV icon, TV programming icon. You've got Mike Riley as a head coach, Mike Singletary as a head coach, Steve Spurrier as a head coach. You've got real live head coaches that have head coached in the NFL or major college football before. And you've got a real TV deal. You've got a real apparel deal with Starter. You have just a lot of things already in place. You have some either former NFL stadiums like San Diego or would-be NFL stadiums like the Alamo Dome or major college football stadiums involved. So you've got the infrastructure built so it's not a clown show. So just jumping off there, you know, it has credibility. It had a preseason. It's things that we take for granted, but you know, if you have a fly-by-night league getting organized and all the teams together, and this is the combine, or this is the scrimmage, and this is the preseason, this is the draft, those are hard things. Let's get to your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
An emotional day at the Daytona 500. Denny Hamlin holding on to the lead after a two-lap restart, winning his second Daytona 500. And he goes 1-2-3 with Joe Gibbs Racing teammates Kyle Busch and Eric Jones. Joe Gibbs Racing went 1-2-3. This is the first time this has happened at Daytona since 1997. And what's amazing about this is the first Cup Series race after J.D. Gibbs passed away. Now, he's the son of Joe Gibbs. He co-founded the racing team together with his dad. And he died in January at just 49 years old after dealing with a neurological disease. So it's a pretty emotional, pretty amazing story that the first Cup Series race after J.D. Gibbs passes away, Joe Gibbs Racing goes 1-2-3 at Daytona. What a day. What an outcome. What an emotional scene that is. Incredible.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Rob Manfred says you will see pitch clocks in spring training. 20-second pitch clock was introduced across AA and AAA in 2015. So they've been doing it for a couple of seasons. If you do not get into your windup by the time the pitch clock hits zero, you are issued a ball. I like this, and I've come around on changes in baseball. I was once completely anti-DH, but I've come around on it because modern baseball just can't really thrive the way that it's built right now. And even I find myself, and I'm not an 18-year-old millennial, I find myself at home going, what's taking so long? Because I'm used to the pace of all the other sports, and I could be looking at my phone or on my laptop or doing something else, and we're not getting through pitches. We're not another pitching change. No offense, another strikeout, another pitching change. And all of these things lead to a lack of excitement and energy and balls in play and just the thing that you come to baseball for. Yeah, baseball's enchanting because it has no clock. But I also grew up on baseball in the 80s where Ricky Henderson gets on base with a walk, steals second and third, and can come home with a pass ball. I mean, that can't happen anymore. Nobody's stealing bases. It's station to station. It's a billion strikeouts. It's a million pitching changes. And we're also taking our sweet time getting to the plate. I mean, you got to speed something up. So I'm okay with Manfred doing this. I hope baseball gets it. You know, we ask quarterbacks to get the playoff with 80,000 people screaming in their ear and a defense lined up against them within the play clock. Get it off. In basketball, you've got a 24-second shot clock. You got to get that shot off. But in baseball, you're just kind of allowed to take forever. Whenever you want to throw it, that's fine. That's fine. Just whenever you want to get there, that's okay. We'll wait for you. No, let's speed this thing up. Let's move this thing along.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
It's your cut line. So today, we had a nice show, and the Diaper D aliens have stepped in and done a great job. We've had Mr. Dan Silverman stepping in on the Wheels of Steel, and Zim, Mr. Zimmerman, watching over Mraz, hopefully learning what not to do as an executive producer here on the DA show. So we like having the kids come up and play some September baseball. But the reason that we have these guys in is because Pete the Body Bilotti is out. And this is interesting because he was out, you might remember, the Monday we were in Radio Row, which happened to be the morning after Royal Rumble. Well, today happens to be the morning after Elimination Zone.
Open Waters. What did you call it? Elimination Chamber?
Elimination Chamber. I called it International Waters. Elimination Chamber, which is what I've been told is kind of like a Hell in the Cell type of situation. Kind of. Two WWE pay-per-view events. The next day, two Bilotti absences. It's your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
At least I'm here and not taking off after every WWE pay-per-view like some people I know.
But I was a baby.
Pete the Body Bilotti. He took off the Monday following the Monday of Radio Row. A little snooping, sniffing, diving uncovered that these two Mondays share the morning after a late night big time WWE pay-per-view event.
I like music.
He is now 2 for 2 to start the year on that. Mind you, the first full calendar year where he controls days off and schedule.
There's going to be a couple calls made this afternoon.
Pete the Body Bilotti, who is a huge wrestling fan, happened to, coincidentally, take off the Monday after, what was that, the Royal Rumble?
I believe the Royal Rumble, and last night was the gas chamber, is that what they call it?
No, international waters.
What? Wasn't feeling well anyway.
Wait, last night was the elimination chamber.
Yeah, something about people hanging in pods and coming out.
Yep. Yep.
Cells and everything
else. There's four corners of the cage.
Very bland.
Ah, great. Good time. So that's why Pete isn't here today.
There is a common thread here. There's been two pay-per-view WWE events in 2019.
Yeah, who knew Pete was such a big President's Day fan? Also, reports telling me, and by reports I mean Silverman, our board op, Pete out this Friday and next Monday as well, doing a little four-day wraparound in February. This guy, if he has any days left over the summer, something is definitely awry here.
Okay, well, that's at least not a wrestling event that he would be off for. I don't think. They can't have back-to-back wrestling events.
No. But the point is, I mean, this guy is burning through days like nobody's business.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
It's a controversy brewing here inside the newsroom walls, which we will continue to dissect as we watch the days of the calendar in 2019. Cody tweets, DA, tell Mraz Birmingham is not really going to Alabama. If Mraz is going to check this one off of his bucket list, he needs to come to the Peanut Festival or the Rattlesnake Rodeo. I feel he would excel at catching the greased pig. Maybe you can weave that in to the trip.
I'm not looking to go anywhere near snakes or peanuts. What if you don't like snakes and you have an allergy?
To snakes or to peanuts?
To peanuts. Then it's two things you can't go to.
David tweets, before you bury Tennessee, in 12 days, DA, they come to Knoxville, talking about Kentucky. In case you haven't noticed, 20,000 at every game. What do you got to say when they drill Kentucky? Then you will see when it's all said and done. Tennessee is the better team and will be the higher seed. I didn't take a shot at Tennessee. I just glossed Kentucky for a big win. We'll see. Tennessee's got great fans. Rupp was on fire on Saturday. We'll see. They got hammered. What can you say? That'll do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Dan Silverman on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Michael Zimmerman, a.k.a. Zim, as associate producer today. Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com and Jacob Wilkins on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. Trash Tuesday tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.